We're going to begin a brand new series tonight, and it's called Vision, Every Day in Christ. Now, I can tell you, in these first couple, 2 or 3 weeks, we're just going to be laying the foundation. We're really going to talk about what vision is and how important that God-given vision is that He places in our lives. After we kind of lay that foundation over these next 2 or 3 weeks, then we're going to get into some very specific topics. Now, I don't have them all written down, and I certainly don't have all the messages written. Matter of fact, this is the only one written for the series, okay, because they just come each week. But the ideas are there, the thoughts are there, the Holy Spirit has placed it within my life, and we're going to tackle some very specific issues when it talks just about just our everyday life in Christ, because you got to have a vision for that. You got to have a vision of what God is doing inside of you each and every day. But like I said, for the first couple weeks, we're just going to kind of lay that foundation, and let's really get the term vision in our minds. Now, most of you know that when we speak of vision, we're talking about a vision that is seeing tomorrow's possibilities. We're seeing what God is doing inside of us. It's not with worry, it's not with anxiety, it's not trying to figure it out. It's just God placing inside of your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, that He's going to do some pretty amazing things in and through you. So everything from your personal life, your home, your children, your family, your finances, hey, it's okay to kind of look ahead and say, okay, God, where are we going with this? And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about vision. Now, obviously, when you think about visionaries, there are going to be several people that come to mind. Always the ones that come to my mind. I think about Martin Luther King Jr. because he was a visionary, right? We know that in his speech, I Have a Dream, that he delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, that he had a dream for America. He had a dream that all men are created equal, and that we'd be able to come together and we'd have these same rights and we'd treat each other with respect. And so obviously, he was an incredible part of where we're at as a society and a culture today. So he was a visionary. Then on the lighter side, on the fun side, you know, there's Walt Disney, you know, because the reason why his part came around is because he was on a Sunday afternoon with one of his grandbabies, or I think it might have been his daughter. And so when they were at a carousel and the paint was all chipped and it was dirty and there was trash around, and he said to himself, I am going to build a park that's going to be clean. It's going to be fun for the family. It's going to be for the adults. It's going to be for the children. So in 1955, they opened up Disneyland. Of course, he got landlocked, so he said, I got to go somewhere else. So he went to Florida, and now we have Walt Disney World, which I think is like 44 square miles of land in which they owned. They're growing every single year. It's the number one destination for tourists around the world. They have them in other countries. And so you got to say, yep, he was pretty much a visionary. Because at one point, actually a few times in his life, he was absolutely broke. And there was a moment when he did owe the bank about $1 million. And then, of course, his first animated movie came out, Snow White, and that kind of put him back on the positive side of things. And so, but anyway, just kind of a visionary. That's kind of the fun stuff. Obviously, you can tell I've read a book about Walt Disney, all right? And so just the way he kind of approaches things. So those are kind of some fun things, some powerful things. But we know vision is powerful in our lives. Obviously, you know that we're going to be talking about that spiritual vision. A vision that only God can place inside of us. We know that it's powerful. We know that vision significantly helps in sparking that fire that's inside of us. It's a part of that. We know that it keeps us from just moving in circles or getting stuck. Or, you know, sometimes we can just be moving real fast, but we're actually going nowhere. That's because we don't have that spiritual vision inside of our lives. Vision is what drives us to accomplish all that God has purposed within us. And I will tell you this, as Christians, I believe every single Christian, not just a select few, every single Christian, every single believer in this house tonight, God has placed His vision inside of you. So you and I, we've got to discover that. We do that through our relationship. We do that through prayer. We do that through His Word. We do that through divine revelation that He gives to us in these awesome moments of life. Every one of us have that. I believe more than any other group in the world, Christians should be labeled as visionaries. Visionaries, people who see the possibilities of a greater tomorrow, people who live with hope and expectation. Now, yes, when we study the end times, we know that the birth pains are just going to continue to increase. So we know the negativity out there is going to increase. we know the persecution and the suffering and the trials is going to increase. We know that man is going to go against God. Nature is going to be all messed up. There's going to be sickness and disease. Scripture tells us in Matthew 24, there will be pestilences. There's going to be all these things are going to happen. We know that side of it, but I believe it would be wrong for you and I to wake up each day, and that's what we proclaim. We proclaim the truth. We know what's going to happen. That's why the world needs a positive word. They need a victorious word. They need to know that even though things are going to go that direction, they don't have to be a part of that, that they can have a life with Christ. And before it gets all too bad, there's going to be a day when Christ takes us out of this place to bring us home with him forever. Amen? So our word is not one of doom. Our word is one of victory in the name of Jesus. Amen? That is our word. That is our praise. That is our truth. That is what we proclaim. Yes, we certainly understand the times. We certainly know where we're at. We certainly know where we're going, but that's not where my mind will be. My mind will be on living in the daily vision that God has placed inside of me. Amen? Because people need a genuine hope. And that genuine hope is going to come from visionaries, visionaries who are believers in Jesus Christ. So people who live in the present, not focused on the past, not worried about tomorrow, but each and every day, moving with purpose in every step while envisioning greater days for their lives ahead. I believe God has created us all with that type of vision. Now, you're probably already going there with me in Scripture because there's one specific Scripture that really stands out. It's in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Now, purposely, I'm going to show you several different versions just so you can kind of see how it's laid out. The ESV says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people will cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. If you have a King James Version, it's going to say, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that kind of gives you the picture that they're all going to die. That's really not what that means right there. It means that there's just going to be that they're going to cast off restraint. That really is the better phrase right there. Proverbs 29:18 in the NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. The Amplified will say it like this, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained, but happy and blessed are those who will keep the law of the Lord. NLT, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. And you got to admit, the message is pretty good in putting it together here because it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So whatever version you have tonight, you very much see the point, and you very much see the theme that without a spiritual God-given vision inside of us, we're going to kind of make a mess of things. Really, if you want to break it down this way and get real simplistic with it, there are two powerful truths being revealed in this short verse. The first one, vision imparts a meaningful and a happy life. We'll talk about it in a moment. And number two, lack of vision will create chaos. It'll create chaos. I certainly want to live in the first one. Now, here are some questions to ask yourself as we kind of lay the foundation this Wednesday night. Do you have a God-given vision for you, your home, your career, your ministry? If I was to ask you right now, what has God been speaking into your life? What has God been revealing to you? What scriptures has he placed upon your heart that you've been reading in? What are your prayers? What's the theme of your prayers? Now, church, I'm going to throw it out there. I believe every single one of us ought to be able to answer those questions without getting nervous. It's not a test. It's about your relationship, right? You can really tell a lot about a person's relationship with God when you ask questions such as though and how they're going to respond to it. Because if you haven't really been hearing from God and you really don't have a specific place in Scripture or you really haven't had kind of a theme in your prayers right now, I can tell you, you probably need to pick up the pace a little bit. Right? Because it is that relationship where you're going to have that vision. I will promise you this. You can get all over this message tonight. You can even begin to shout me down and say, hallelujah, that's good. You can underline it and highlight it and write notes. But if you do nothing with it, you will still not know what that vision is. Because please don't be one of those individuals in today's time where you think you can blow into church real quick, hear a great message, be a part of a great service, then blow out and think everything's going to change. That's not how Christianity works. right? It is a relationship. So without that relationship, without that just that ongoing communion with God, it is going to be very difficult to hear what God is placing in your life, to see where God is taking you. I mean, I would even venture out to say, for those that are mature in Christ, you know, on the days you get too busy and you don't read as much, or maybe you miss a few days, or maybe you haven't prayed and you just really have just maybe taken 3, 4, 5 days and you haven't been with God, you know what I'm talking about. At the end of those 4 or 5 days, it's a lot different than what it is when you're with God, right? Because we've all done that. Let's please not, you know, we're not going to come out of here so holy that we've not ever been in that moment. We've been in that moment. Can you imagine what it's like if you were never spending any time with God? So that revelation is going to come from that. What direction is your life headed? Do you envision peace and prosperity and purpose and laughter and joy and unity and healing and restoration? Things such as love and victory. Are those the things that God is speaking into your life? Do you see the vision that he has for you? Or do you fall prey to the enemy's vision, his deception and his darkness? Because he'll get you to thinking about things that will cause trouble and strife. You'll have an angry spirit inside of you if you're following the vision of the enemy. I'll promise you that. Because he's going to cause anger and he's going to cause strife. He's going to cause division. He's going to cause you to walk in failure. He's going to cause you to struggle to get by and feeling trapped. If you're following his vision, you say, well, hey, pastor, there's no way I'm going to follow Satan's vision for my life. If you're not spending adequate time in your relationship with Christ, you are very vulnerable to hearing the enemy's voice over his. Because the world isn't speaking the voice of God. Right? The airways aren't speaking the voice of God. The news stations aren't speaking the voice of God. The radios aren't speaking the voice of God. The voice of God comes from him and the relationship that you have with him. Amen? So, those are just great questions to ask yourself. Vision, a vital part of our lives. We all understand it. I use this phrase a lot. It just makes sense. We know life's a journey, and we know that every journey has a destination. And without a clear God-given vision, chances are you will come to the end of your journey and you're going to wonder. And you're going to wonder, did my life make a difference? Did it really matter? What a sad place to be, because if you're in Christ, you better believe your life's making a difference. No matter what it is you're called to do, no matter what your ministry is, no matter what your gift is, if you're following your God-given vision, you're making a difference. Because of you, others are going to go to heaven. Because of you, others are going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it's not just the pastor and the team and the deacons that should have a vision. We all have a vision as we serve God each and every day of our lives. Without that, without it, you'll begin to wonder. And God doesn't want us to sit back and wonder. He wants us to be in awe and wonder of him, but not wonder, am I really making a difference? Because with God, we know that we are. Vision gives clarity of purpose just to the daily walk. Sometimes the daily walk may feel a little bit like a routine. And sometimes the routine can get a little bit mundane. And sometimes you can kind of get trapped in that. Well, if you're hearing God and you're following that God-given vision inside of you, he'll even bring clarity to the mundane. He'll bring clarity to the routine, because some of us have jobs where we can't break away from that. It kind of looks the same each and every day. Can I tell you, that's okay, because the people you're talking to, the people you're rubbing shoulders with, the light that's shining from your life, God is using that. Many times over with individuals that are in the hospital, in and out, I've had many of them. I think of specifically one, Brother Tony Holland. If you remember Tony, he passed a couple years ago, and he was in the hospital, I mean, just more days in the year than he was not. Multiple times there at the end of the journey, he said, you know, Pastor, I think one of the things why I've been here is because this must have been my ministry. I said, Tony, no doubt that's a great way to look at that, because the custodians coming in his room, they knew his name. Of course, the doctors and the nurses and everybody on that floor, and then that shift change, every time I was there, someone would walk in and say, hey, Tony, how you doing? And they would be laughing and smiling. Can I tell you, even though he's at a place that's challenging and he's battling for his life, he still lifted up the name of Jesus. He still lifted up his praise, and he made a difference. Because he had a vision that he was going to serve God no matter what. He had a vision that he wasn't going to let this life get him down. Sure, there are moments in all of our lives where we get down. I don't want to set it up so high that if you get down, you're like, oh, I better not tell Pastor I'm down, because we all get down. But the Lord will pick us up. And if you got that vision inside of you, he'll pick you up and you'll get up a little bit quicker than you normally would. And he'll help you keep going. So let's look at these two things. I'm really going to spend most of the time on the first one, and that is this. Vision imparts a meaningful and happy life. Vision is empowering. It empowers you to keep moving forward each day with that positive mindset. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It empowers you to experience a fulfilling life. Yes, vision fuels life. There's an illustration that I've had for many of years, and I've probably used it two or three times throughout ministry because it's so powerful. And that is a story of those who were in the concentration camps, in the Nazi concentration camps during World War II. There was an interesting discovery, and it was made by an Austrian psychologist, Viktor Frankl, who survived a Nazi death camp. And when you read about this, and it's mentioned in several different books, and you've probably seen the story yourself, his discovery helped answer a question he had concerned himself with. Why did some survive the horrible conditions of the camps, and why did some of the people not? Now, he looked at several factors: their health, their strength, their family structure, their intelligence, and their survival skills. And although these things are important, he concluded that none of those factors were primarily responsible for those that were not, you know, of course, killed by the guards or, you know, tortured in a way that took their life, but for those that were able to make through it. What was it? The single most significant factor that he found was the sense of vision that they had for the future. A sense of vision that they felt like God was not done with them. A sense of vision that they were going to get through this, that they could see themselves out of that camp, that they could see themselves, you know, beginning a life and beginning a family, and they would have that. So I find that to be very interesting. Those who were to survive, they had a compelling conviction that they had a mission to perform. In other words, they just felt like their life wasn't yet done. Their mission wasn't complete. So vision for a better tomorrow, finishing their purpose in life, that contributed significantly in keeping them alive. They just wasn't going to give up. They were going to keep going. Now, what's interesting, when you study some other things on POW camps, you will see that same thought is kind of there. Those who can see themselves getting out of that dark moment, they have a greater chance of survival. That kind of speaks to us, right? Because obviously we don't understand that at all, what it'd be like in such a dark place, in such a horrible place. But it also helps us to see in our spiritual minds that when we're kind of in a dark place, if we will just allow that vision of God to really begin to speak to us, he'll bring us out of there and he'll show us, hey, this is not where I want you to be. God doesn't want any of you this year to spend any time in a dark place without knowing that he is bringing you through it. God doesn't want any of you to ever be at a moment where you feel like you're isolated and alone and that he does not care. Every moment, every day of 2020, God wants you to know that he hears, he cares, he answers. And if you are in a difficult place, as always, he will bring you through it. There's not one story in the Holy Scripture where it ends like this. God failed to bring him through. And God stopped. And God gave up. God was at a loss. God did not know what to do. You will not find that in any story in Scripture. What you will find is there are scriptures of hope. Yes, there were lessons. There were correction. There were a lot of things that took place. But he always brought his people through. Vision. A big part of that is it's what he's doing in your mind. It's a mindset. It's a mindset saying, okay, God, I'm hearing you. I'm seeing you. And I'm going to follow the plan and the promise that you have for me. Let's consider, speaking of Scripture, let's go back into the old story in Numbers about when they spied out the land. We won't read all of it. I'll read part of it, a big portion of it. We'll kind of jump around here a little bit. Numbers 13, 1 and 3. Moses and the people, they've been led out of Egypt. They're traveling to the promised land. Just about everyone here, you know the story. But you know what happens. It says in Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1, the Lord says to Moses, I want you to send some men out to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I'm giving you, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the next several verses gives the names of those individuals. Then you get down to verse number 17. And it says, Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. We know those instructions. He says, go north through the Negev into the hill country, see what the land is like, find out whether the people there, they're living, they're strong, they're weak, few or many, see what kind of land they live in. Is it good? Is it bad? Does their town have walls? Is it fortified? Are they protected? Or is it unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or is it poor? You know, is this going to be a place that we can have some good farmland? Are there many trees? And he says to them, do your best to bring back samples of the crops that you even see. Now, it happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. So that's why they saw these huge clusters of grapes and why they were so bountiful, because it was the season in which they were in. So the scripture simply says they went out and explored the land. When you get into verse 25, it says, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. They returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, and they reported to the whole community what they had seen, and they showed them the fruit that they had taken from their land, and this was the report that they gave to their leader, that they gave to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore. Boy, indeed, it is bountiful. It is a bountiful country. It is a land flowing with milk. It is a land flowing with honey. Here's the kind of fruit that it produces. They did just as he had asked them to do. But then there's verse 28. But the people living there, they're powerful. And their towns, they're large. They're fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. You get on down to verse number 30. It says, but as they were saying all these things, because by this time they're kind of casting some worry, the vision they're casting right now is not one of positivity. It's not one of like, oh, let's go do this. They're striking fear. They were fearful. And usually when someone's fearful, they're going to do their best to get everybody on board with them. Yeah. You notice that? That works just about in everything. If they're angry, they want you to be angry with them. If they're depressed, they want you to be depressed with them. If they're in a dark place, they might call you to say, hey, bring me out of this. But really, they're trying to bring you into that dark place with you. Because fear had struck their hearts. But in verse 30, Caleb, he tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he says, you got to love it every time you read it. Amen. Every time you read it. Let's go at once and let's take the land. Yes. I just want to live that way. Yes. I want to come to church that way. I want to come to worship. How cool would it be before Pastor Austin even said anything that we said, hey, let's just go ahead and start worshiping right now. You know, what would happen if we began to worship 5 minutes before the 5 minute countdown started? We were that ready to go. Yeah. Hey, we're in the house of God. Let's just go ahead and do it. I know that may be a little crazy, a little goofy, but you see the attitude there. Hey, let's just go at once. Let's not even talk about it. Let's just go. God's with us. He's on our side. I mean, sure, we'll get a plan. We probably should sit down a moment and say how we're going to do this, but let's just go do this. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land, they disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. There's also that little lesson in here that most of the time, the naysayers outnumber the ones who know that they can do it. I don't know why that is, but the naysayers usually are the stronger number. You get to chapter 14. Let's look just at a few verses. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. And they went on to say, if we had only died in Egypt, or even here in this wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in a battle? Our wives and our little ones, they're going to be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it just be better for us to go back to Egypt? They're saying, wouldn't it be better for us to go back and be slaves? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back and be in bondage? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to the pits and to the bricks and to being whipped by the taskmasters? Wouldn't it be better where we wouldn't have bountiful meals, that we would be frail and that our children would be scrounging for things to eat? Wouldn't it be better if we could just go back there and live our measly, depressed lives other than having to go and battle and face a sword? That's what's been said. Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader that'll take us back to Egypt. Isn't that just, when you read it every time, I've been here multiple times in my life, and every time I'm like, that was really the atmosphere, a pretty toxic atmosphere. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, I think, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored, it's a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land, and he will give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. Think about this sentence. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. If that's not a statement of vision, I don't know what is. Because he wasn't seeing just what was before them. They were seeing in their spiritual minds the protection that God was going to give. Going back to Sunday, the God of Jacob, the God that was going to lead them through. They would have his protection. They would have his leading, his guidance, his power. He would bring them through. That's what he was seeing in his mind. He may not be able to see it, you know, tangibly and be able to picture that, but I believe in their minds, both of their minds, in Joshua and Caleb, what do they see? They see God on their side, and they proclaim that. And in their statements, they're casting an incredible vision for the people. But it was still up to the people which vision casting they were going to listen to. And it's the same with you and I. Which one are we going to listen to? Which word, what promise, which purpose? Joshua and Caleb, optimistic, faith, visionaries. They believed in the vision God gave Moses. They saw the same land the other 10 saw, but instead of defeat, what did they see? They saw a better life. They saw greater days ahead. They saw happiness. They saw fulfillment for the nation of Israel. They saw beyond the giant obstacles that were in their path. They did not focus on the distractions of the doubts or the complaints, but they envisioned a place. They envisioned a land where they could build their homes, where they could worship their God, where they could grow, where they could become the mighty nation that God desired them to be. I don't know about you, this message just preaches so much every single time. This passage, this scripture, there's just so much richness in it to help us at where we're at in our lives today. Sure, if they stayed where they were, if they didn't receive the revelation of God, the promise of God, the vision that God was giving them, they would perish. If they turned back, they would still perish. But if they kept moving forward, they would experience their best days. I think you're getting this with me tonight. May God give us all a clear vision so we can just keep moving forward each day at a time and experiencing the best day that God has for us. That's how I want to approach it. I think sometimes we will say something like that and we'll think it's too unrealistic, but really we're doing just the opposite. Because instead of saying, I'm going to live the best day possible, we kind of approach it that, well, there's a lot going on today, so maybe tomorrow will be better. And I really believe we can wake up each day and say, I'm going to live the best day possible in Christ. That doesn't mean perfection. That doesn't mean no trials or difficulties. That doesn't mean uncertainty. That doesn't mean any type of anxiety that may come your way. It just simply means that you wake up in the morning and you say, this is the day the Lord has given me. I will rejoice. I will praise him. I will walk in his promise. I will walk in his power. I'll walk in that presence of the Holy Spirit, and I'll walk with the revelations in which he continues to pour into my life. That's what God wants us to do. Vision weaves four elements into the fabric of our daily experiences. This comes directly from a book that I have. I've had it for a very long time, by Andy Stanley, Visioneering. Four things that are weaved into the fabric of our daily experience. Passion. Vision will stir up passion always. Motivation. Vision provides motivation for the daily matters. You see them. I've got them behind me there. Direction. Vision serves as a roadmap. It prioritizes your values. Vision, a purpose. Vision gives you a reason to get up each and every day. That God-given vision is so incredibly important. When you think about the Lord himself, Jesus, casting vision, he did this. John chapter 14, verse 12. You know what it says. This is what he said to the disciples. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." That's a pretty powerful statement of vision, because he's telling the church, hey, I'm going to be leaving soon, but what you're going to do this, and you're going to have a greater expanse. You're going to have these great works that's working in and through your lives. You're going to see multiple people's lives being changed because of what I'm placing inside of you. Boy, that's a pretty awesome statement that he's casting out there. Same thing in Acts 1 and 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Even before he ascended back into the glories of heaven, he was still speaking promise, purpose, power, and really he continues just to cast vision into these individuals' lives. And it was them that had to receive what God was saying. It truly imparts a meaningful, a blessed, and a fulfilling, and a happy life. The second one is this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I don't think it's necessary. There's no need to dwell on this one because I think we get it. Lack of vision creates chaos. Chaos breaking loose in life is this. It's confusion. It's lack of focus. It's lack of any type of moral conviction. Right and wrong gets intertwined in a very skewed way of thinking. Why is there so many today in the Christian culture that is tolerating so much that is going against God's direct word? It's because we are not walking in that clear vision that God has given us. We're walking in things other than his word, other than his truth, other than his, we're walking in day-to-day experiences. We're walking in emotion, right? You know, when you think about churches and when you think about what is happening and what's going on, I mean, you see a lot of people, they're going from experience to experience to experience to experience. And the next thing you see, they kind of begin to stumble over themselves. Why? Because they're not getting the clear vision that God wants to give them in their lives. You know, I will tell you this, individuals that say, hey, I'm serving God, I'm living for God, but yet they still embrace the world. They still embrace addictions. They still embrace things that are going directly against God. Can I tell you, they're not going anywhere. They're just spinning their wheels. What's happening, it's going to be short-lived. We've seen it all too often, right? And the pastor, I'm not standing here wanting to cast judgment right now. I'm just trying to speak the truth because I want you to live the best life possible, and the best life possible saying, okay, I'm going to listen clearly to what God is speaking into my life. There's enough chaos in the world, I think, without us adding to it. You know, when that statement came to mind, I was like, Lord, please don't let me add to the chaos. Don't let me add to the chaos. One of my daily prayers right now, I'm being very specific, is like, Lord, just let my words be few. Steve Lee can talk too much, so I just let my words be few, because I want my words to be words that proclaim glory, that proclaim what you're doing, purpose, promise, joy, happiness, peace, and life. I don't want to be a part of the chaos. For the 10 spies who could not see past their fears, they were willing to settle outside of God's plan. Willing to settle outside of his plan. How many people sit in church and do that? I hope nobody does that. But when you give in to your fear and your anxiety and your worry, you're settling. You're settling. They get consumed by the chaos around them. There's no need for any believer, anyone here on this Wednesday night, to live without God's revelation upon your life. wasn't sure if I'd give this or not, but just making it personal is as much as I feel the Lord would have me to. In knowing I was going this direction, and knowing what the Lord is speaking to my life about Sundays right now and lifting up our praise and going into this Wednesday series, I knew God's doing a work in me personally. I have so many people that say, hey, Pastor, thank you for that word. It really spoke to me. And I always say this either out loud or in my heart. Well, man, I'm thank God because it speaks to me first. I know God's always doing a work to me in my life when he gives me something. But just over the last few weeks, and I didn't really realize it until the end of those weeks, I just began to allow some distractions to really interfere. Church distractions to interfere with, I believe, what God would have me see and what God would have me do and what God would have me hear. And I was letting some of those things really begin to annoy me. And how many of you know when you get to that place, you're probably not the best person to be around, right? Just a lot of little different things, a lot of little different voices, a lot of different little experiences and things. So I'm just being very open and honest. You don't have to be the same with me, but sometimes I feel like it's no fair that I spill all my junk, all right? But just know I'm in the same position as you. I can just feel that. And even in a season that I love, I embrace Christmas in every way. And even in a season I love, I even told the staff when I came back, I said, boy, I just felt like a lot of things were trying to destroy or steal the joy that I know I have, that God has placed inside of me. So not even realizing it until later on, just at the end of those few weeks, I said, Lord, boy, I need to get my focus. I need to get my clarity. I need to be able to, when I wake up in the morning, just have a really clear vision of how I'm going to approach this day. I think I've gotten off track a little bit and off center. And I've been not hearing you as much as I need to hear you. I've been hearing too many other distractions. And so I really believe the Lord hears every prayer and he answers every prayer. So that was a prayer. That's kind of been going on in my spirit, and I've prayed it, and I just trusted God. And it's not, please, please do not come up tonight and give me one of those tearful, depressed hugs that said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. It's going to be okay. Do not do that. Because that's not where I'm at, okay? Just because I'm speaking that doesn't mean I was in the pit or I was in the darkness. It just means I was off center, off track. And so just realizing that, praying it, trusting God, and just going on with my day each day. Well, didn't know it was going to happen, but it happened on Monday. Well, it began happening on Sunday, actually. Came in for service and preached God's word and just trusted him for what he wanted to do that day. And on the Sunday morning, the early service and the 8:30 service, a very distraught man comes forward. And he wants to talk about some things that's going on in his life. He didn't ask for any type of assistance other than just he needed some prayer. And so I spent some time visiting with him. And I just prayed with him, and I trusted God with what God was going to do. And I hoped to see him here in church. Then at the 10:45 service, went through service, trusted God, good day, good service. Getting close to leaving, stayed around longer than what I typically would. It's getting close to the 1 o'clock hour. I don't remember the exact time. And Pastor Austin introduced me to a couple that had came in. And they had came in, and they wanted to minister. And I was very honest with them. Typically, that's rare that they would catch me like that. And usually that's one that I'm going to try to dodge because there's a lot of people wanting to come in here and speak. There's a lot of people wanting to come in here for a lot of different reasons. And I think you can know the number one reason. And so a lot of times self will get in the way, flesh will get in the way, and I'll do everything possible to be like, hey, let's make this quick. Let's make this painless. Please be anointed, Steve, and don't say what you're really feeling too direct. Just say it with an anointing, And the Lord just dropped in my spirit, spend some time with these guys. So, I don't know, Michelle, it was probably pushing an hour, 45 minutes. I don't know. I think we got home around 2 o'clock on Sunday. But time is over with. We had talked, we had laughed, we had encouraged each other, and I even gave them a tour of the church. And at the end of that, I didn't really think a whole lot of it. I didn't think a whole lot of it other than the fact, I was like, God, thank you for that moment. Thank you for speaking to me that I just needed to slow down. Because whatever you're going to do with that, God, you're going to do it with it. Thank you for that divine moment. And then Monday morning, we get a call that Dustin's back in the hospital. And he's been in the hospital in and out so much. Dustin Olden, the one that fell, had the accident. He's been doing so good, but he's battling the flu. So I was like, I need to break away, and I need to go up there. And I went up and spent some time with him and prayed with him and just encouraging one another. And then Monday evening, I had a young man. He's 18 years old. Wanted to spend some time talking. Ended up talking for a couple of hours. And man, it was a rich conversation. It was a pretty rich conversation. I was impressed by how genuine his approach was. And I knew that this young man was going to be okay. This young man's going to be okay. Monday night comes around. Sorry. Just going because there's lots of other stuff in there. A lot of staff meetings. A lot of other calls. A lot of other stuff. A lot of other decisions. A lot of other signing POs and all that kind of stuff. Then at the end of the night, I don't know, it's probably approaching Pastor Cody. You were eating dinner when I called you at 7 o'clock, I don't know, somewhere in there. Had a gentleman come in that heard that we gave out food. Now, typically, we got everything locked down. You know, we're trying to counsel and do all this. And so he came in, and Melody was with me, and Melody ended up knowing the individual and began to talk to them. So he was able to give some groceries, and that was all good. At the end of my time with that young man, I asked Melody a little bit about the story, and she told me, and he had just a lot of stuff that was headed in the wrong direction, and he really needed some meat. He didn't ask for meat. We don't carry meat here. We don't carry milk and juice and things of that nature because we're just unable to do that. You know, we just have the dry goods. But the Lord prompted me and said, hey, go the extra mile. Now, I say this, not go the extra mile with the church, with benevolence funds through the church. Go the extra mile. Called or sent a text out to see who'd go with me, and Pastor Cody, and of course, several of them said, Pastor, hey, I'll go with you. Went to Walmart. We bought some pork chops, some chicken, some roast, some ground beef, some milk, some juice, some Hawaiian rolls. You know, we just, you know, I think there's a reason they don't let me in the benevolence closet too much because I give out too much. Anyway, but it was like, hey, we hooked it up. Had no idea we were coming. We went, knocked on his door. He was there. Did what we felt like the Lord wanted us to do, and we left. All is good. Didn't realize until I got back in my truck, and I was getting ready to leave, turned it on. I just really felt the quiet spirit of the Lord say, are you good now? Are you good? Because for that 48 hours, he put things back in perspective for me. He put back in perspective why I'm called to do what I am doing. He put back into perspective what it is that we are to be doing. He put back into perspective that no matter all the noise and distractions out here, I'm going to put back in perspective what I need you to be doing. And I got to tell you, I just sat there and wept. I was like, God, the simple things of life and how you move never ceases to amaze me. Now, I was incredibly vulnerable right there, okay? Now, I didn't want to be that emotional, but you know me, and I just am. But I pray that, because I'm good, but I feel like I need to share that because I want you to know you're going to be good too. Because God will help you, just like he did me, put some things back into perspective. I don't know what's happening in your life. With your children, your home, your spouses, your work. I don't know. I know some of the stuff, sure, but I don't know the grand scheme of things. But I know what I'm supposed to tell you tonight, that you're going to be good. If you'll just trust God and seek clarity in the vision that only he can give, he's going to put things back in perspective for you. And I pray that happens tonight. Amen. I don't want to walk in chaos. I don't want to walk in circles. I don't want to be spinning my wheels. I don't want to just be going like this all the time, that you just don't stop and feel what the Lord is doing. Man, I just want things to be in perspective. So tonight, church, as we come and as we pray, Pastor Austin, we said we weren't going to do this, and I'm totally 100% putting you on the spot. Would you grab your guitar, and would you sing just by yourself, "Oh, Come to the Altar"? And as he sings, And as we just begin to worship the Lord, I encourage every single person in here just began to seek the clarity and the perspective and the vision that God has for you right here, right now.